with episode 824 of The Critical Myth. I'm John, your host, and tonight we have...
This is Gary from Jacksonville. I think we're it tonight, John.
Yeah, I do think we're it, although we did have some notes from our friend Edmund, but unfortunately he could not join us this evening. But yes, this is our last couple of shows before we are off for Dragon Con and assorted other things. So yes, as we've mentioned before, we are going to have a couple shows this week, then we are off for a couple weeks, and then we will be back 3 weeks from now, essentially, with really our beginning of our fall coverage, though we will be, of course, still in a little bit of a summer, in between the summer and the fall seasons, but we will be, of course, starting to ramp back up for the fall. But at any rate, right now, we are looking at a couple shows, and the first show is going to be basically catch up over the last couple weeks, and then we will be getting into a show of episodic discussion. But before we do any of that, any general spoiler disclaimer you want to give, Gary?
Yes, during this show, well, it's not that we won't try to spoil, but if we need to, we will. So as you hear a topic come up, if you don't want to hear what we're saying, stick your fingers in your ears and hum real loudly. Otherwise, listen to some very insightful commentary on shows you might not have seen or details you might have missed.
Mm-hmm. Correct. All right. So we are going to jump right on in. And actually, I have to say, Gary, this is completely not what we usually talk about. But considering that we're going very shortly into the land of Coca-Cola...
Yeah, yes, yes.
I had to mention that, I don't know if you've noticed this where you are, but over this weekend, we were hit with the wave that was the changeover from Coke Zero to Coke Zero Sugar.
No, we're right on the cusp,
yes.
Because all the Coke Zero has disappeared from the shelves, perhaps in some hoarding frenzy, but the new products have not yet to grace the shelves. So.
They literally just showed up today for us.
Oh, okay.
And as of a couple hours ago, we had a few in the house, so I decided to just crack one open. You may have heard me in the background, and just took a sip, and I do have to say, I may like this more. I don't have that distinct aftertaste in my mouth that Coke Zero used to give.
Well, John, I swore off Coke years ago. I had a really bad habit, and I was up to, geez, almost 3 liters a day. And I had to just go cold turkey. And I have to, other than one or two minor relapses at a few parties over the years, I've pretty much adhered to my abhorrence and avoidance of said topic. However, I don't discourage other people from freely enjoying it. So I'm glad that it's survived the purge to some extent and has improved. Yes.
Yes, yeah, I had to mention it only because that is probably my favorite mixer, and so I'm hoping that
Fair
this
enough.
Does not mess with it too much. As for regular Coke and regular Pepsi, yes, I agree with you. I have tried to, I have largely sworn those off, as the caffeine is more than enough. I don't need the sugar on top of it. Certainly not anymore at my severely advanced age. But anyway, just a weird aside for the beginning of this one. We have some other weirdness that we can get into. For instance, the
yes.
aforementioned Dragon Con. And I know that there are other hosts on the VOG Network that will be there. Rob from Orange Lounge Radio. We have, of course, Bobby Blackwell from his self-titled show. And maybe a couple others, like Brian from British Invaders. I think that just about rounds it out. I don't know who else may be there. Maybe some VOG listeners may be around. That would be pretty cool.
Oh, that
but,
would be.
We are all involved on various panels, and certainly check out the VOG Network website. Perhaps there may be some information there, but certainly Orange Lounge Radio and other shows, they are going to be talking about what those schedules are going to be. And in fact, you might want to check Bobby Blackwell's show and Orange Lounge Radio this week, because there is going to be some discussion about what may or may not be happening on the VOG Network Discord channel in terms of the availability of pictures and chats during Dragon Con, assuming, of course, that those of us who are there can get reception.
It's always a challenge, especially in the third-level sub-basement of one of the hotels, so
indeed.
We'll have to see.
Not to mention when you pass through the food court, it seems to be a dead zone, so which always makes catching up with people and where they are a lot more difficult. But at any rate, we keep in touch with all of us that are there, if you can, through the Discord channel. I will be putting that on my devices between now and then, so that I can actually jump in on the fun as much as I can. But there we are. So Gary, I'm just going to go through the panels I'm going to be on day by day, and maybe you can jump in with yours as well. So Thursday, I'm not on anything. It's kind of my arrival night. But Friday at 11:30, it seems... The times kind of move around every once in a while. I am on Team Arrow Star City Vigilantes. That's right. For the fourth year in a row, I will be on the Arrow fan panel for the for that particular track.
You mean they took you back after last year?
I know.
Oh, geez. Okay.
I know. Even after I had such not so favorable things to say about the show. Actually, there are a couple of us on the panel that are have been on it a few times. I recognize a couple names here.
Well, I will try and make that, but the Legion of Superheroes photo shoot occurs then. So, Legion of Superhero fandom does not meet often or almost ever. So the chance to be in a room with maybe roughly 20 to 30 of my fellow Legionnaires is a fleeting opportunity, but I will do my best.
Very good, very good. If nothing else, we can catch up afterwards. Now, I also have, later that evening, around 7 o'clock, the World of the Walking Dead fan panel, where we'll be talking about both The Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead, though I have a feeling one far more than the other.
One would hope. Say. Yeah.
It's fun to see my name here on the app in the description.
Yes,
it's that it really is. Good. And actually, I think it's someone... No, that's a different person. But it's good to see the familiar names as well. What do you have on Friday as far as panels you're going to be doing?
Actually, believe it or not, I have a clean slate on Friday with the exception of 11:30 on Friday. But that being said, yeah, most of mine start on Saturday, so I'm working from there. So
okay. So how about Saturday for you?
Okay, well, let's see. Saturday I have the Parsecs Awards for podcasting. We used to do an award ceremony, and over the years, our core base, I guess I'd say, has not only dwindled from Dragon Con, but at the same time has expanded globally. And linking ourselves to one convention that very few award nominees or winners can attend every year has put a crimp in some people's style, and it's somewhat limited us because some people feel that we're solely associated with that said convention. Now, we are very grateful. We were founded one night in the back of the podcast room as an idea between our founders, Mer Lafferty, Mike Meninger, and Tracy Hickman. But it's been 11 years that we've been doing this, and we feel that it's finally time for us to step out of from under the skirt of Dragon Con. So we're having one last get together, a panel at 1 o'clock on Saturday, just to sort of explain to the people who have been attending and have been supporting us for many years what happened, why it happened, and how we're not going away, just changing. So we felt we owed that to the fans. We didn't want to just disappear from Dragon Con without explaining to everybody. So that's my first panel at 1 o'clock. Then I have to rush over to the Streets of Fire panel, the movie, at about 1:30. Then at 4 o'clock, I'm moderating the Iron Fist panel. And please don't heckle me, John, if you attend. I know you had issues with the series. But anyway, I enjoyed it a great deal and felt it improved drastically as it went along. So I'm looking forward to that panel as well. And then I close out the day at 8:30 moderating a Flash panel. Definitely we had a lot of stuff going on this year, and I'm looking forward to discussing it and seeing what other people think, especially I love the whole Iris issue. I'd love to hear other people's opinions on the whole foreshadowing of her death for the season and then literally have it pulled out from under us. So I want to hear other people's opinions besides yours, of course, John, I know. But and then my only other panel would be Sunday around 1 o'clock. I'm also the moderator for the Dark Matter panel. I realize that this has been somewhat of a divisive show for sci-fi viewers, especially in the not quite the war between Killjoys and Dark Matter, but there definitely seems to be sides. So hopefully we can not only put that to rest, but just talk about what we're enjoying about the show this year as they do stretch out and completely away from the original miniseries that the comics that spawned it. So it should be very interesting. So that's a. That is about my whole time there. So there's many other panels I am attending, but those are the only ones I'm actually going to be moderating. So,
yeah. Now, Saturday, I don't know about you, but I'm still on the fence regarding my participation in the parade. But,
I completely forgot about the parade, too. I am in that as well.
Yes. So it will depend on a couple factors, but usually whether or not I can actually get out of bed. There is, in fact, an Assassin's Creed group this year. So... we shall see. Well,
and while you say that, John, and when I say this, I mean no discouragement. Isn't that outfit awfully hot?
Yes, well, you know, it is a matter of endurance. I will say that none of those outfits are really meant for hot weather. But from what I understand, looking at the forecast, it's going to be a gorgeous week. It's not going to be too hot. It's going to be in the low 80s, and so who knows? Maybe it won't be so uncomfortable after all, especially in the morning. Though walking a few miles in that could be a little difficult. But what can I say? That's, you know, it is a brotherhood after all. We'll keep ourselves on our feet.
Yes, I would suggest some sort of, you know, backpack bladder with a straw to drink water out of. But,
that's it's funny you mention that. I already have one.
Yes. Yeah. Well, yours is much more. What's the word I'm looking for? Perhaps noble than the character I'll be portraying in the parade. One of my friends has noticed that when he went to Dragon Con for the first year, he said, you know, every parade needs a Santa at the end, but, you know, just a Santa at a geek parade, that really doesn't make that much sense. So what my friend Chuck thought was that we should have the robot Santa from Futurama be the person to close out the parade. As a result, he had someone dress up as robot Santa, and then he, one of his friends, Craig, and a few others also donned Futurama costumes, and so they all walk, and they're the very last parade float of the parade. The person who usually does the robot Santa is moving and is unable to attend Dragon Con this year, so I was asked to fill in. So I will be the robot Santa for closing out the parade this year.
Very nice, very nice.
As a side note, I do actually get to ride in a truck, so I will not be walking at all.
That's helpful. That's very helpful.
It's what sold me on it, John.
I'm sure it was. I'm not saying that sarcastically either.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, of course, one of the factors for me is my ability to get from there to my panel at 11:30, which is the 12 Monkeys panel, which I'm looking forward to quite a bit.
Well, given that it involves time travel, John, should that really be an issue?
It shouldn't be. I should be able to sprinkle my way right over there.
Yes.
Especially since it's time and space when it comes to the splinter vests. Anyway, also, I have that day at 2:30, The Expanse, The Proto-Molecule and You.
Ooh.
Yes, I don't know that you want the proto-molecule anywhere in your system at any time, but that's, you know, just a matter of perhaps personal decisions there. And then on Sunday, I have at 10 o'clock in the morning, Colony Fan Panel. So that would be the show on the USA Network. So
yes,
that's so I'm on a total of 5 for the weekend, which ties my record from last year. Then also possibly the parade, though that will depend again on some other factors as well. So yeah, that is where I'm at. That's my plan for the weekend so far. I, of course, will also be checking out some of the other panels, like the ones that Gary will be on, if I can, and then some of the ones that Rob and Bobby will be doing, and perhaps even the ones that Brian will be doing in the Brit track, because I believe they are still in the Sheraton where I will be staying. So
yes, they. I think it is Thursday night. They're having Vogon Poetry Night.
There you go. So yes. So that is the plan, or rather the current schedule for Dragon Con. It's always possible for that we will be drafted into other panels, as has happened in the past, but we'll see. So moving on from there, any other thoughts for Dragon Con before I...
No, they have a pretty good slate of stars, including William Shatner, Nathan Fillion, and I guess, when they said this next name, I had no issue with it, although I do have to say I don't know where he fits in genre-wise. John Cusack. He has never really been in science fiction. I don't think he's been in I guess I take that back. If I can unpurge my memory of 2012, I think it is.
Yeah, you may want
I guess he was, but that and also Zach Levi is going to be her. Levi? From Chuck is going to be there as well. Chuck. So those are my top four guests that I'm looking forward to seeing, should the scheduling gods permit. And that's one of those things, you know, because it's such a large convention, when they get big stars such as at least big stars as far as I'm concerned, they actually run them simultaneously to break the crowds up.
Right.
So it's always a who do I love more? And you break your own heart sometimes when you make that choice. So it's something I've learned to live with over the years at Dragon Con, but it still stings just the same. So, do I not see Shatner to go see Nathan Fillion? how can I do that?
Yes.
Anyway, it's a constant challenge at the con, but better to have too many choices than not enough. So.
I suppose that's true. Yes. There's never any lack of things to do. That's for sure.
Fair enough.
All right. Well,
I don't want to detail just how many costumes are you bringing?
I'm not actually sure, but I usually try to have at least one a day. And then maybe one or two backups for if things are too hot. So we'll see. Probably not too much that's new.
But so if I'm somewhere between 6 and 8, I should be okay?
I think you'll be okay. I think that's about the right amount.
Yeah, okay. Just checking.
It wouldn't be a convention if there wasn't one for the morning hours and then one for the evening hours, you know, mix and match.
Fair enough.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So let's see here as we move on to other topics. Wow, here's one for you. Now, Gary, I'm really interested in your comments on this.
Oh, geez.
The DC movie universe has kind of had a lot of news lately.
Yes.
So the thing that really gets to me here, or that I don't quite understand, is this whole idea that now, after really talking up the fact that they're going to have, you know, going forward from Man of Steel and then Batman versus Superman and all of that, mm-hmm. that they're going to have a cohesive movie universe.
Okay.
Now they are saying that they're going to have movies that are part of that continuity and then movies that are completely out of that continuity. So, for instance, they've talked about having a Harley Quinn and Joker movie that is in the same continuity as Suicide Squad. And they've talked about doing a Joker movie that is completely outside of it. And so on and so forth. And in fact, the Ben Affleck Batman movie that had been long talked about and long awaited is now apparently going to be a Batman movie that has nothing to do with Ben Affleck and make star someone else completely different.
Yes.
What are your thoughts about this, Gary?
Well, over the years, I have come over to the proponent that there's more than one Joker, so I don't have an issue with that. Number two, you know, it became a convenient trope to sell more books to merge universes together. Mm. If they can tell me a good story and it doesn't reference anything else, I don't care. I want a good story. If it includes Superman flying in the background or a mention of the Daily Planet while Batman's, you know, reading a newspaper, fine. But if he's reading the Gotham Gazette instead, I don't care. Tell me a good story. If it links up, great. If you go out of your way to screw with continuity, that might be another story. But if you need to bend it or even break it to tell me a story that's quality, I'll take it. And I'll just live with it any which way I can. It's nice and cute to have these linked universes together. And in some cases, especially as it becomes a part and parcel of an ongoing storyline, that's great. But should it necessarily hinge on one thing versus, is my enjoyment of the Flash movie going to be poor if it's not entirely in continuity with the Green Lantern Corps movie? No. So while in comics I am somewhat of a continuity cop, the movies I'm more than willing to look the other way. Like I said, just don't go out of your way to thumb it at me, but if needed, do it. For example, I mean, I look at the Aquaman movie. They're going against many tropes of Aquaman lore, but if I want to go with it, then I have to go with it. And so you have to overlook some stuff. I've always been of the opinion converting a book or even a comic book into a different media is going to involve change and sacrifice. So you just got to grin and bear it. Are you one of those people you need every dot connected to enjoy it, or it just makes it utterly useless?
No, I don't think it's quite as black and white as that. I think that for me, the way that I'm kind of looking at this and I'm gritting my teeth a little bit or wincing is that Marvel's kind of showing how to have the best of both worlds, in my opinion. While everything is ostensibly part of the same universe, as far as the MCU is concerned, they managed to find ways to make things novel and kind of distinct on their own. But what I think the difference for me is at this point is that you have on the one side Marvel, who is coming out and basically saying, here's our plan, here's what we're doing, here's what we're executing to, and maybe success is giving them the ability to do so, but they've stuck to their message pretty strongly. When it comes to Marvel Studios, their films are in-universe. That's it. There is nothing that's, you know, outside of it. there may be the stuff that's done in the X-Men movies and so on and so forth. But, you know, when it comes to those movies, we've also said that, you know, wow, they can't seem to stop from falling over their own, you know, hints and foreshadowing and everything else and staying consistent. At the same time, I think that movies like Logan show us that you can do things that are barely connected to continuity and still manage to tell an incredible story. So to that, I agree. I think the problem for us is here is that it would be fine in isolation for DC movie people like, you know, whether it was Geoff Johns or it was whoever, to come out and say, we're just going to have movies with our characters, and sometimes they're going to connect and sometimes they're not, depending on whether or not that's the best thing for the story. And if they started there and then they continued in that fashion, I think that we could be fairly confident with what the output is. I guess what the problem for me is that this is literally the third or fourth change to the plan.
Well,
I
mean,
I don't know if they even have one anymore. They're just kind of throwing stuff at the wall to see what sticks, which I guess is the situation that they're in. But that's the part that I'm kind of concerned about, is that they're saying that today, but 6 months ago they were saying, oh no, we're all still on this plan of these movies all being connected and part of the same big storyline. And now they're not. And not only that, but we're tripling, quadrupling down on the fact that we're going to have all standalone stuff, which, oh, again, some of it is, some of it's not. It's not real. I don't really mind as someone who is kind of keyed into it, because we'll know which movies are meant to be in continuity and not, and we'll be okay. I just think that, boy, is that going to be a really confusing message to the general public.
Well, I agree with you. However, I mean, number one, they're playing catch up to Marvel. Marvel came out of the gate with, I don't know what you refer to it, a generation or this era of movies, starting post 2008, I guess, so strong and so hard that DC was sort of floundering. They knew they had great source material, but often, as shown with the Superman movies, and I guess even you could go back and look at some of the later Batman movies of the 90s, had just not figured out how to capture lightning in the bottle. They just could not seem to get it right. At least not right. When I say right, I mean where it appeals to a mass fan base. So they were very confused about what to do. And then they see this see Marvel bloom and explode out with their movie structure. And so, of course, they try to ape it. I can't blame them. You know, I'd be tempted to do the same thing as well. If, you know, you see, hey, wow, look what they're doing and people are liking it. Maybe we need to, you know, consider that. And, and in the meantime, they've reinvented themselves as well. DC is no longer a New York City based company. They moved everything out to Hollywood to get into this sense of, movies now, sadly, being the focus of their intellectual properties because of the potential revenue. And so as they're doing that now, a lot of the older people, or at least people who had been with the company through the New York City years, are not there anymore. And they're bringing in new people with different ideas and different concepts. And I think that somewhat accounts for a lot of the change and flux that you're seeing in their purpose. I agree that it is confusing to people, but at the same time, if they want to be successful, they have to keep doing stuff. And some of the stuff they were doing was not very well received. I think of all the criticisms of the Man of Steel movie, and even Batman versus Superman wasn't without its detractors and critics. And then you see something like Wonder Woman, where she's almost universal acclamation for it, and they realize that that's more of their model, and so they're going to keep switching to what they see people liking. I mean, you even look at the Suicide Squad, where they were rewriting it after it was in the can. Yeah. because they realized that the movie going public wanted something different than they were giving them, and they were willing to change it to appeal to the mass audience. As a long-term comic book fan, there's times I want to take issue with that. But as I said, a movie is a different thing than a book or a comic book, and you have to write something that the general audience wants to see, because if they don't, then number one, you don't get any more of it in any shape, fashion, or form. Mm-hmm. And it might even go as far as to damage the actual books, because people become comic books because people become so turned off to the hero. So I understand a lot of people's concern, and it is a little frustrating, the change in direction. And I could only scratch my head when I had heard the Batman announcement that you referenced a few minutes ago. But they need to make movies that appeal to people. And if that means making one Joker movie that's with Harley Quinn and slapstick versus a almost serial thriller with another type of Joker, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I guess we'll just have to see where they decide to stick. this time. Yes. And I have a feeling that the massive amount of retooling going on with Justice League is going to also have a lot to do with the direction that they choose to take. Mm. I can't imagine that that is what they wanted to be doing right now, is wondering what the final product is going to look like just a few months before the movie hits the screens. But
I agree. I know I'm looking forward to Lethal Weapon Green Lantern Corps. And
wow. Okay, that's a different.
Oh, have you not? Oh, the latest premise is Hal Jordan's a jaded veteran, and John Stewart is his new rookie partner.
Nice.
Not the buddy cop movie.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. Sure. That could work.
Yeah. So we'll see. Like I said, you know, they keep surprising me. Now we keep hearing machinations also about the Shazam movie, whether it's going to and whether Dwayne The Rock Johnson is going to get his own spinoff movie for reasons I can't understand, because I really have a hard time believing Black Adam is that popular a character. But
I think there are a very limited number of people that even know who that is. So
my point exactly. So we'll have to see. They're throwing out a lot of stuff, and I think some of it is testing the waters. What if we did something like this? Oh, people seem like they're interested. Okay, we'll move forward with it. Oh, we've talked about this, and people don't want to do anything. Well, then maybe we'll switch again.
I do say that probably the one that really sticks in my craw the most is the change to the Batman movie, because the one shining thing out of, I shouldn't say one. There were two things about Batman versus Superman that I actually really enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder Woman and Ben Affleck's version of Batman. And we're getting neither? Wonder Woman, but we're not getting Batman, so...
I wouldn't even worry about Batman. To be honest with you, I have a feeling that a whole bunch of that hinges on Justice League's box office. If it hits big, it won't surprise me that you see Ben donning the cowl once more. If it doesn't do that well, it wouldn't surprise me if they bring somebody else in.
Hmm.
But so we'll have to see. But I heard that and I took it with a grain of salt, because I said, oh, well, if Justice League tanks, then yeah, that'll definitely happen. And if it doesn't, then maybe it won't. So at least that's my opinion on it. So we'll see. Then not to mention the whole talk about – have you heard this rumor that people want to boycott Justice League because of Joss Whedon?
Yes, I've heard of that.
Yes.
I think it's a bit what's the word that I want to say here? Unnecessary? I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't blame people for their feelings about the Joss Whedon stuff, and I don't know that we really want to get into that right now. If people want to boycott the movie because of that, I don't know that one person should be the reason why you boycott it, especially when that person was only brought in to kind of finish a job because someone else had a family tragedy. It would be unfortunate to make all those other people who were involved in the production for a couple of years kind of suffer, so to speak, because of the person who came in and at the 11th hour to do some reshoots and edit the film. You know what I mean? If it was if it was from stem to stern, the entire thing from beginning to end was a Joss Whedon production, I might understand more. But as it is, it's kind of like, finding out that he doctored the script and deciding not to have anything to do with the movie because he was at all involved with the movie, right? It just, he's not the major player here, to be perfectly honest. As much as, you know, there's some reshoots, some rewriting, so to speak, going on to cover some of the gaps, perhaps, that were left. Yeah, I get it that he is doing an extensive amount of work on it, but he's just the last in the chain, so to speak. Definitely when it comes to, you know, there were people who are his detractors anyway. I know some people even on the network who, as soon as he was involved, said, forget it, this movie's going to stink now, because they were never big fans of his in the first place. I know that there are a lot of people that don't necessarily like him. And then there are people who, you know, based on the news that came out in recent weeks about his marriage and so forth, are definitely kind of disappointed, to say the least, that one of their kind of heroes or idols in the industry has turned out to be not the person that they thought he was. And everyone has their own threshold. I completely get that. I mean, this is akin in some ways to, you know, the Orson Scott Card discussion, right? Where do you separate enjoyment of his novels from the politics of the author that many people find offensive or disturbing? I think it's a fair question that everybody has their own answer to. So I would not tell somebody who says, if Whedon wasn't involved or was involved, then I want nothing to do with it. I can't tell them that they're wrong. I would just say that for me, at least in this case, it's certainly not enough to dissuade me. Trust me, with Justice League, there are plenty of other reasons why I have my doubts about the quality of the film. his involvement has very little to do with it. But no, I completely understand that, and I think that there are probably people on the Marvel side that are sighing with relief that they kind of burnt bridges with each other a few years back at this point. But at any rate, I don't necessarily want to dominate the rest of our episode with the discussions about Joss Whedon, because I'll just say in general terms, everything that was said was pretty damning. At the same time, as much as I know that some people don't really like this kind of way of putting it, this was one side after a long, years-long divorce situation. I don't want any part of that, so... let's just leave that alone. The truth will out in its own time. So, and if people feel like the truth is already out, that's, as I said, their own decision to take that and run with that as they so choose. But, obviously the allegations are fairly disturbing.
Yes.
Let's see here. Well, we still have a little bit of time left in this episode, so we want to get into some of the other things that we have been doing. I binged the heck out of the Defenders. I finished it in the weekend it came out. largely because everyone here wanted to see it, and we are in a bit of a clock with people moving on to other college life and so forth. Definitely wanted to see it before Dragon Con because I didn't want to get spoiled. I know you haven't had a chance yet, Gary. I will say that in some ways, it definitely does a lot for, as you mentioned earlier, the character of Iron Fist. They are very aware of the good and bad about that character, and they kind of make it a point of the story to delve into those things. In fact, it's very clear from the get-go that this is a... that a lot of the plot is a melding of what was introduced in the second season of Daredevil and in Iron Fist. Even as it is quite obviously the next chapter for Jessica Jones and Luke Cage as well, but yeah, a lot of the plot comes out of Daredevil and Iron Fist. The biggest problem that I had is that the villains, by the time you get to the end, you kind of think you know where things are going, then they take a few turns, and I have to be honest, by the end I wasn't entirely sure what the villains' plot or point was. I'm still not clear on exactly what they were trying to achieve. The pieces don't necessarily, at least, they're not obvious how they fit together. So that's just for me. It's certainly succeeded on many levels, but that's the one part that I was still left scratching my head over was, how does this work? What were they trying to do? I think it launches everybody, all four of the main characters and a lot of the supporting characters into some pretty interesting new directions. I'm looking forward then to what that direction may be. But at the same time, I feel like they need to do a little bit more work next time when they have, say, Defenders Season 2, which I'm assuming they're going to eventually do.
Yes.
So, that's my general comments on that. A lot of good, a little bit of bad. Still, I would probably say, if I'm looking at my scores... comes out around a 7.58, maybe even better than that. Probably around an 8, maybe better, as I'm looking here. Yeah, at least an 8, maybe a little higher than that.
Okay.
So certainly not a bad show, by any means. All right, so what have you been up to the last couple weeks?
Oh, geez, I wish I'd been up to to more than that. Unfortunately, I haven't been. I did recently get to go out and finally catch in the theaters, thankfully, the movie Atomic Blonde with Charlize Theron. It was really enjoyable. What I'd heard about this movie was that she was a female James Bond. So I'm expecting, I don't know, cocktail parties at ambassadors' residences and stuff like that. And this was anything but. This was a down, dark, and dirty spy movie set right in the shadows of the falling of the Berlin Wall. It was really interesting. I will say brutal, but not overly gorific by any means. But the fight scenes were incredible, probably the most realistic fight scenes that I think I've seen in any sort of movie. There was literally one scene where they both Charlize and her attacker are actually like out of breath and taking a breath before they can stand up again to fight at each other. And it was just like, because they were just so brutally beating each other, that it was it felt very realistic. There's intrigue, people you thought were good guys weren't, the bad guys that you thought might have been bad were turned out to be good guys, and lots of twists and turns, and then an extra turn at the very end that was completely unexpected. And John, the soundtrack was like top 10 1989. There were songs that I had forgotten that I'd ever, that I had heard, that I'd almost forgotten because I haven't heard them in so many years. And then I started hearing the music and all the words just kicked right back into my head too. And it was very period authentic with a lot of clothing and, news stories that were going on at the time. It was very much a sort of time capsule back on top of the, really well done spy story, and as well as the, fighting. And it wasn't like street fighting. It was not kung fu fighting in any sense of that term. It was just, it was very rough and raw, and much more enjoyable than I honestly, as I realized what it was becoming, and though it wasn't a standard James Bond, feminine James Bond movie, I was sort of turned off because like, oh, that's what I was expecting. But it very much surprised me, and I liked it a lot. I suppose they did leave the door open for a sequel, but I haven't heard anything, so I'd be surprised if they do. But it was quite an enjoyable show. I was actually talking with Edmund at length, being our resident spy master that he is, and he's like, "Oh no, I saw it immediately." And yes, you're right; it was absolutely fantastic. Very much loved it as well. So if you enjoy some of our different discussions on certain spy genres, such as I guess Person of Interest might fall under that, as well as some of the other things we've reviewed over the years, I think you would definitely like this movie. As I said, it is not a cookie cutter James Bond type of thing. It is it's very much a living spy novel, which is enjoyable.
Now, a couple episodes back, I talked about my thoughts on it, and I wasn't quite as favorable about it. I would love to have Edmund on to discuss it, but for me, I found Charlize Theron's character just a little cold and unapproachable to a degree. And I understand when you get to the end, that last twist kind of explains why, that you can't get too much insight into what's going on with her, because they need to make sure that it's believable when things happen.
Yes.
But at the same time, it kind of kept her at a remove.
Well, I
agree. I had a hard time with that personally.
I agree, with the exception of a very small snippet of a scene. They never really humanized her. You never really got much of a background with her other than some taunts and teases by adversaries. And but I don't think that was the purpose of the story. It wasn't to get to know her better. It was to advance this whole plot line of issues with a spy, with an objective that needed to be found, meaning a list of spies that had to be protected and reacquired, as well as trying to ferret out a mole in MI6. So really, she was not the story. She was just a piece of clockwork within the story. She was not the story herself. And I could see how some people would have wanted to know, oh, geez, did she have, was her childhood rough? Or how did she get to this point where she became a spy, rather than just hit the ground running? So I didn't mind it not being an origin story.
Yeah, I don't know that that's what I was looking for.
Okay.
What I guess for me, the whole thing is that you're presented with this character as though she is, we're supposed to kind of, I guess to a degree, we're supposed to be seeing things from her perspective and also kind of on her side, so to speak, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. And so to a degree, I was left kind of feeling like we never saw what was in her head enough to really engage on that level.
Where it was more third person, is that what you're...
Yeah, but at the same time, we were kind of following it from her point of view. Yet we never got to see beyond this very kind of guard, super guarded perspective. So it wasn't like we're, you know, to a certain degree, we're even supposed to be like, oh, whoa, she may have been betrayed by this person. Well, why do I care?
I see. Yeah, I mean, I admit that they didn't give you a lot to feel attached to the character, but they'd even sort of address that at one time where she's like, oh, well, then I have to stop doing that because, you know, it'll get me killed.
Yeah, but yeah, you see what I mean, though, is that, like, it's one of those few moments, and it didn't, like, ruin it for me or anything like that. It's just one of those things where I was kind of, like, taken aback thinking, I don't really have any stakes in this person, and so it's just kind of a story that's playing out. And while it was a good story, it was, like, I guess you could say there was really no character that was the viewpoint character for the audience.
Yes.
And that was the thing that I was kind of looking for, like, what draws me in to really care about the stakes? Because otherwise it's just a really fun story taking place in an interesting period of history from a perspective that we normally wouldn't see, which is the German part. And I loved the setting, and like you said, the music was great. There was a style to it. And maybe you can also see where I was saying that it felt a lot like they were trying to convince you that this was a kind of hip, edgy story every so often, with the way that they did transitions and some of the, like, stuff at the very start where it was like, oh, there's this story. This is not this story, and all this kind of stuff. And it was like, it almost didn't fit. It was like, you don't need that. It's trying too hard at times, but, you know,
I agree that you did feel beat over the head a little bit at times. I won't disagree with
that. So I mean, there were just little things where I was saying to myself, I can see these as barriers for people who aren't really into the genre to go out and see this. They're not going to identify with anybody in the story per se. If they're looking for a James Bond, she's not as engaging as a James Bond. There's a warmth to James Bond even in the movies, usually.
Yeah, I'll give it,
that she doesn't have. And I don't know if that was a conscious decision to do that because they didn't want her to be ultra, like, feminine to a degree, if that makes any sense, because she's certainly feminine, but
they definitely did not want her huggable or likable.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And that kind of, like I said, it's going to turn some people off, I think. And I'm wondering if that's why it didn't do particularly well. I know some people that, when I mentioned the movie, their reaction was that that even the trailer, there was just something about it that left them kind of cold. Like, they didn't really, it didn't grab them. Where I saw the first trailer and I said, oh, this looks great.
Well, you know, it's also, I guess, a movie, as you said, there's no real, you don't get into that character's head that much. You don't identify with the main character of it. And that, you know, typically, I guess a lot of the movies we see, you get that, and this one you didn't. And there, I mean, there's other movies out there that do the same thing. A lot of foreign films, you know, have that same sort of detachment from the character. So, I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying. There are definitely valid points, but at the same time, I still enjoyed the vehicle. So,
yeah, I think at the end of the day, it's a good movie. It's just that, it wasn't exactly the slam dunk that I was kind of hoping it would be.
Yes,
so that could have also been just my expectations as well. Let's see here. So, let's see. What else have you been up to?
Let me think. That's about it at the moment. I've just booked my tickets to go see Wrath of Khan in the movie theaters for the anniversary. I'm looking forward to that. And that's been about it. It's been a slow summer. At this point.
Actually, that is something that I am trying to figure out which night I'm going to go to as well. Because, you know, I got to do that again. It's been a long time.
Yes.
All right. So let's see. Also, just on my list as I kind of go down here, I haven't seen any other movies really, but I've been reading an awful lot. I read the first two parts of the Prey trilogy for Star Trek's 50th anniversary last year. That would be Hell's Heart and The Jackal's Trick by... I always forget the guy's name, and it's sitting right there, but I can't see it from this far away. But his last name is Miller. John Jackson Miller or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good. Very Klingon heavy. So if you're into the Klingon society and the lore, and it's set during Next Generation... So, it's with the Next Generation characters. It's not during that part of the timeline, but it is, you know,
Enterprise
E period.
Okay. So post
Nemesis.
Okay.
Well past Nemesis.
like 10 years past Nemesis?
Well, it's in whatever the continuity timeline was last year. So.
Oh, okay. Yes. Okay. I know where we're at then. Yes. Yeah.
So those are pretty good. It took me a little bit to get into. There's a twist at the end of the first book that I wasn't sure if I was going to like very much, but they kind of brought me around in the second book, and I'm kind of intrigued where they're going to take things in the third, because they did some major things in the second book at the end. So probably going to be picking that up next when I'm done with the book I'm currently reading. I then went back and read an older book by Terry Brooks called A Knight of the Word. This would have been from the earliest trilogy in the Shannara timeline. I've never read all those books, so now that they're effectively over, or will be very soon, I'm going to go ahead and get... You know, I've said this before, that the worst thing for me is when there's a long series and I start reading it and they never finish. I'm kind of kicking myself with even reading the Song of Ice and Fire books, because George R. R. Martin can't get around to finishing things, but thankfully there's a TV show doing that for us. But anyway, yeah, I read that. It was actually a pretty nice little... urban fantasy thriller. I actually read it in a weekend, which I didn't think was possible, because the first couple chapters I was like, okay, this is fine, but it's not the big, you know, the best thing in the world. But I really found myself kind of pulled into it, and it's a pretty tight story in terms of just a handful of characters, so very nicely done. And now I'm currently reading a book that Edmund will be happy to hear I'm reading, which is A Player of Games, which is the second book in the Culture series by Ian Banks. And I'm ripping through it pretty nicely. I'm maybe 100 pages from the end. I really like this a lot. And it's pretty engaging. And yeah, I would recommend it to people who are fans of science fiction, for sure. I've already ordered the third book to come in at some point. So definitely a recommendation. So yeah, I'll probably be moving on to the third book of that Prey trilogy next. And then I'm not quite sure. I've got a little bit of a stack that I am working my way through. But kind of getting... there's a handful of fantasy series that I was waiting for the final books to come out for. And now that they have, I'm kind of finally going to get to those. And I'm crossing my fingers that starting the Expanse books wasn't a mistake, because apparently they're still ongoing. So I'm hoping that they come to a conclusion and I don't kick myself for that. But yeah, you know, with the summer being the way it is, not a whole lot of shows on the air, a little bit more time to read. I kind of usually take more time off in the latter part of August, so I've been having a little bit more time to do that. And yeah, I also finished Mass Effect Andromeda, so I'm taking a break from big sweeping games. Perhaps until
just for us completists out there, what percentage?
97%.
Very nice, sir. Very respectable. Yes,
I only kind of decided not to go for certain side missions where the completion was dependent upon random drops of certain things, and I was not going to spend several hours trying to get 3% just to get at 100% for the game. Plus, I didn't play any multiplayer, which I think I needed to do in order to make up a little bit of that. So, but 97%, that's a huge game, even bigger, I believe, than any of the three original trilogy games. I think my final time was somewhere around 82 hours over the space of a few months. So, yeah, that had been taking a lot of my free time and a lot of my insomnia time. And so I've been reading more, which probably helps with that, too. But, yes, I'm looking forward to digging into a few more novels before the fall starts. We'll see what I wind up bringing with me to Dragon Con.
You have time to read there? Wow.
No, I always bring stuff in the kind of vain attempt that I will actually pick it up. I usually read on the way there and on the way home. That's about it. So we'll see. All right, I think we're going to go ahead and do then is wrap up this particular episode, because we did go a bit longer than perhaps we expected. But that's okay, because we are catching up on a couple weeks, and we are going to be off for 3 weeks after this week is done. So any last thoughts on the non-episodic stuff?
Oh, no. I usually do take especially your book reviews to heart, and I'll try and pick up one or two of them.
There you go. All right. In that case, we will be back next time with our episodic discussion from the last couple weeks. So until then.
And so ends another epic episode of The Critical Myth. If you want to leave a comment for this show, head over to vognetwork.com. Not only can you find links to the podcast version of each show, but there is a dedicated forum, a ton of written reviews, and related articles by the crew throughout the site. For the written reviews, you can even leave your own review, so let us know if you agree or not. You can also leave comments on our Facebook page, Critical Myth, on Twitter at Critical Myth, or Google Plus, under the Critical Myth Show. Any and all use of copyrighted material is only intended for discussion, commentary, parody, or educational purposes, in accordance with U.S. Code Title 17, also known as fair use. In other words, please don't sue us. And of course, the statements and opinions of the Critical Myth crew are not necessarily those of the VOG network, its partners, or affiliates. But let's face it, we're probably right anyway. Until next time, watch, read, and listen, and believe in the critical myth.